The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
We'll be on our feet as we welcome our daddy this morning. So we're going to get right into it this morning as we look at this question. We trust that God will help us to quickly do that in the next 1 hour thereabouts. Amen. So I'm going to be reading them out. Can you project them, please, so that everybody can read along? Okay. So this person is saying that I am tired of this so-called journey of eternal life. Like, the joy of salvation I had back then in school isn't there anymore. There is no zeal, no passion. I'm just tired of everything. The back-to-back meetings, the commitment to the Lord, the submission. It was something that I know I enjoy in previous times. But now I just get angry at it. Like, why this and that? I know something is wrong deep down. But sometimes I just ignore because I'm not interested. I want to be somewhat free to do my own things, to choose the girl I like. Why can't I like anyone and just shoot my shot? Which one is wait, submit, permission, and all? Same with work I want to do or travel. I like this country and I want to relocate. Why can't I just go? What's the big deal? It's plenty, but let me stop here. This is me asking for help. What can I do to restore the joy I once had?
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everybody. And sometimes we don't know what we want. If they ask what do you want, what's your need, you will write so many things that you are yourself that is writing will be confused. Because you have never really sat down to yourself to ask you, what do I want? Do I want to enjoy my life, like people enjoy it outside there? Do I really want rest for my soul? Do I really want a future that is secured, that can get a guarantee? So I don't really know what brought this person to the faith in it in any way. There could be one of those needs, or it could be excitement of having friends who are belonging to a cause. And sometimes my thing is on the popular side. People join. And you ask them, why are you joining? They don't know what they are joining. That's what happens when once a side or a philosophy or a movement is gaining more people. There's tens of more people joining it. And if you ask them what they want, they don't really know. They are just used to being with where things are happening. So I want to ask this person to go back and say to the world, are you really born again? Have you accepted the issue of sin as the problem? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. So have you said those basic things about faith, about belief, about, you know, the human state and the promise of God's life? Have you really resolved them? So if that is not your basis of coming to the faith, go back there and see if you still need to be a believer or not. If you are an unbeliever, we know you're outside. You keep on hearing the message, you can come in. But if you're a believer, that part should be settled. Should be settled. And that's why we preach all the time. We go through books, all of that, to make you go back to revisit your foundation. To ensure that you have a strong foundation of faith before you start the journey, because you're going to come across a lot of things on the road, on the way. A lot of challenges, sometimes pleasant, sometimes unpleasant. sometimes, you know, emotional, sometimes, you know, psychological, sometimes traumatic experiences on the way. It's a pilgrim's road. It's a pilgrim's road. And a pilgrim's road looked like a man just talked about that was running to Jericho. There could be assaults and all of that on the way. But one thing you are sure of is that, number one, your spirit will be saved if you are on this side. Your soul will be guaranteed. And the hazards will be reduced. There's nobody on earth that does not go through hazards. There are moments you even nearly doubt yourself. Am I still myself? Because of the things you feel around you. So you understand? But the things you feel does not change reality. Because we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. We walk by the things that are revealed, that are clear to our heart. No matter what our emotions and our state is talking about. And that can make us weather through journeys of life. So I think that's what you need, bro. And if you do that, we have materials in the house that can help you to locate your journey like that one, from the new birth, all of that, and you know that when you have a problem, to strengthen it, then you can reconsider. You know, you want to make your choice. That is an issue of I. It's an issue of I. There are many I's still ask for identity in you. Like Paul said, you know, I'm crucified with Christ, not yet I live, but not yet that live, but Christ that liveth in me, like, which I now live. So there are a lot of many I's in us that you have to set to and determine which I takes the lead. The time comes, it doesn't mean it's going to be comfortable, but you have, by reason of your understanding, this I should take the lead. So I will always cooperate with this I. And from there, you start seeing results. Like those who have gone before you also have seen results. And so not, the people who are ahead of you are not pretending. They are not trying to act it. They have gone through their experiences too, and they have their persuasion. You can also have your persuasion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy, for that. The next one, please, you need to help me. I don't know my problem. I find every fine guy attractive, and I always want them to be my friend. But at the long run, I just end up cutting short the friendship because I don't feel the same again. My problem is even that, must I see every guy attractive? I'm not okay, and I know that. Pastor, you need to intervene before I misbehave.
Now, you have not told me not attractive. Is he sexually attractive? Or romantically attractive? Our sense of value and appreciation is, Tom sees guys and they are just guys around me and they are just like one being walking around here at the places. When somebody sees guys and they don't really appreciate them, they like their voice, they like their building, they see details. They see details. Some don't see details. They just see details. Until they were married for 40 years, they don't. They have 5 children. They don't. And they are not trying to sin. It's just their person. So some better appreciation, they incline. Not for sexual activity. That's what I'm talking about. You have to define. Also some guys also. Every woman, every girl is a girl. See what I'm saying now? It's a girl. There's no problem. But some people, they see details. They see smiles. They see the way you grin, the way you sit. They see everything. It's not sin in them. It's their person. Okay? And that is not a problem. The problem is not, it's when you allow sin to dictate to that cause what to do. When the lower nature begins to define to you what you do with it, that becomes a problem. Okay? So I want to say that sometimes because we are confused with a person that way, we are confused. Why am I like this? All the people I meet around me, nobody's like that. That is how you are made. And if you are not made like that, some other things that, details that needs to be supplied from that gender personality will not be available. Because others are not seeing it. they may have the challenge along the line, but they don't see it. They can't trace it. But you have a client to see details. I can only say, oh, it is this, it is that. So you are a help in a way. There are guys who are the ones who use epifeminine to design their clothes, design their shapes, design all of that. In fact, most of the fashion they have around the world here, it is guys that works there. That works there. That they get advice them, tell them what to do to so people have just are just gifted in various ways. That's how God distributes it. So if it's not sin that is taking location of you, you have no problem. Okay? Are you okay? That's it. That's all you need to intervene before I misbehave. So if lust is location, and that's enough entirely, I will route you through all our writings, all our read, all our books, all our materials. Go back there. Go and read the sexual hygiene, sex and sexuality, your sexual health. That will be a way to help you to get to rightly program. We can, you see, the way God has framed us, just was use this finger. That's how God framed us in different vibes, without sin. But religion wants to make us equal. It doesn't exist. God is going to be acting. Suppose God is going to be pretending. So it is. So that's the quality of grace that God gave for everybody, for expression of life. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. The next one. Are Christians supposed to struggle tooth and nail to make money? What approach are we supposed to use in getting it? If something is not from God, it won't give you peace, right? What about a job you've been instructed to stay in or do, but you don't have peace in it? How we won't cope?
We start by asking about should believers struggle
to make money?
No human being should struggle in any way. Gifts of nature has been distributed so that it can reach everybody. And also that fact that God has given patterns of skill development in life to be able to make you acquire enough skill to fix it. But the world keep evolving. And God keep evolving. Distribution of money or of benefits is flowing here and there. Sometimes it pay this side, paying this one, and that time it's paying IT, and that time it's paying those who talk. Any useless talk today makes all the money. Connect creation makes all the money, and every week they're gathering together, they're gathering in 5 million, 6 million, 10 million, just by making useless talk. So somebody must actually be behind those movement of. So I think the important thing is also be able to understand the issue of money. Profession is one thing. I've talked about that before in here. Having a profession in which you know in your heart that's where you should function. Also, you should know that you are not a robot. You can function many things. And so there are things you may have to do that has to do with money. Money may not be much in your profession. You should know it. And not keep yourself there. Look at where the money is.
Yes, follow
the money. And get your part in it. So problem comes when you define yourself by a frame and say, that's who I am. That's the problem. There are many things you can do you don't know you can do. And sometimes in switching from that mono static personality of yours to discovering your many sides can be very difficult. Depending on your personality, some changing or discovering themselves is difficult. If you give them tasks they have not been used to doing, they start complaining. Because it's giving them, it's tasking their brain area in area and they have not used before. I think you're something now. So drills or sometimes hard work does not mean you are suffering. And does not mean that tooth and nail. It does not mean. It means you are adapting. Every creature adapts. And adaptation is not simple. You're going to learn new ways of doing new things. Do that. I'm not too sure that even in 2 years, you still remain there. The world is changing very fast. Profession is changing very fast. And money distribution is changing very fast. And you have to be as fast as that. And you have the capacity within you. So that's the fact that God can help us. God can bless us. But in terms of empowering yourself to be able to handle money, handle riches, it's going to be from more discipline from your side. Because even if they bring so much to your side, you don't know how to handle it, it's going to flow away. It has wings. It's going to fly away. Yes, nobody owns it. It's the person who uses it that owns it. So all of that, we're looking from money. We don't really talk about attitude towards money. We talk a little about it. Sowing your seed, that's part of it. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's going to involve also you being able to trap the money. But what about a job you have been influenced to stay in or do, but you don't have peace? What is the peace? It's because it's troubling you. It's stressing you. So you don't have peace. What is your peace? It's not paying you. Always not paying you well. So sometimes you use that language because you can't find the right language to use. Uh-huh. So how to cope with this? That if you have not found another better one, stay there. You need the money. Don't step out of the money and start begging. And step out of the job and start begging. Keep the job until you get a better one. And I think nobody is going to help you to stay with a job when you have a better choice. If it's not going to destabilize many things about you. So if they are canceling you to stay on a job, if you have a better job, it could be that there are many other things about you that it's not about the job alone that will also be destabilized. And the cost of doing that may be more than what you are thinking about. Because sometimes getting a new job will be like, oh, more 20,000. But you have not started to do all the calculations about how the 20,000 will fly away. Uh-huh. And somebody's saying, oh, can you hold on a little bit? That is not yet something. Like, but in actual sense, you don't really have to. You have minus. Sure, you understand what I'm saying? So if they are canceling you, and they, maybe they have not told you all the details, that could be the background thought about telling you, can you keep on with what you are doing? If you say you're talking about peace, it must be that you are not at rest in your heart concerning many things, either seen or unseen about it. Your heart is, each time you get to the job, it's not a matter of a mental stress. You're agitated, your heart stabilizes. You are, maybe you are, there are things you are seeing, pointers there that takes you that place is not safe. Or unseen things that that will unveil itself with time. So, that could also be there. But I'm always there most of the time. When I have to say I don't have peace, is that like the work is not falling easy for them. And they take the stress of the work to mean that they don't have peace. Peace is of the heart. Stress can be of the mind. They don't really fall together. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. A hand for Daddy. Is it wrong to have a personality like this is who I am? This is what I do, mindset. Is it a life we can live with?
I think this issue of I am saying. And I think all of us will have to really come to understand that reality, that you have your personality and Jesus is not taking it from you. All of us, we don't have the same personality. All various. Some can look good in terms of the gain of it to the human general world. See what I'm saying? Some can have his own good, and all of them really have their own good part, their negative side. Because I think they are all free from the inherited nature, which is also not far from the nature of the inherited nature from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so every person has his own strength, has his own problem. And so, you have a personality, accept it. And there's nothing you can do for now to remove personality, but it can be transformed. It can be transformed. It means that the same personality is changed. It's not that it's removed. The same. It's purified and it's changed. The way its formation, the way it operates, changes. So you are still really you, but actually it's now Christ. You know, so Christ is an identity that is nobody's identity. I say you are James Christ. Musui Christ. You are in Christ world, you are still there. But it's not Christed. So Christ is God in the flesh. That is the life for all men. Every man should be Christ. There's no man should be less than Christ. So our variation still exists there. But it's now righteously transformed or formed. I'll say form now, because if it's already Christ, it's not transformed. It's when it's our personality that is, it needs to be transformed. I don't know if I'm talking to you. Yes, so what the gospel does is to work on us and begin to change. Like it says in the book of Romans, I beseech you, brethren, by the means of God, that you know, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Or don't stain in your formation. conformation, because it's actually information. You have all the while your personality has been adjusted to align with what the word says about you. But be transformed by the renewing of your soul. Transform, but be transformed. So it's the same I, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the level of transformation is that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So I want to believe strongly that if we understand all of this, then we can invest more the gospel into us to see the best of us. No, you can't be me. You can never be me. And I can never be you. But we can have the same oneness in mind and spirit. That is, our different personalities can align and go on the same journey of life. I don't know what I'm saying now. We can agree together and we can align together to go on the same journey of life. That means that inside of we are one, though the expressions may be different in, you know, here and there, but it's actually unity in diversity. Okay. And so that is what I think we should understand and labor more on. No, this one I was just remembering the song. I no longer live, for Christ live in me. My life is no longer mine. He's taking my life and hid it in him. He's raised me above. I'm living Christ. And Christ is mine. That song was a beautiful. That is the song I was also. No, I no longer live. It's just my. I'm not allowing my personality to now dominate me. I'm not just living myself about my personality. But I'm applying Christ's laws and Christ's laws until Christ's law becomes what defines what my personalities agree with. That's why I say Christ lives in me. I live in Christ. And Christ is now my life. So it takes time for Christ to be your life. That journey sometimes may be a little bit, for some of us, we just like to do it in pa. Like, one thing should I do? What one thing must I do to inherit eternal life? So most of us, that's the way I approach kiniki shibai. Just tell me two things. But it's not, it's going to be a journey of life, rediscovering, and you are changing your mind, In 1 year, if you're really applying your heart to that, changing your mind, that you're not just belonging to the crowd, the change will be evident with time. I don't know if you have answered that question. Is that all about the question there? So thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. Last Yeshua Jin convention in Akure, somebody asked the question, how can I become Christ in 2 years? Okay, let's move on. I was really blessed this Wednesday, of course, not this past Wednesday, when Daddy began to teach about the tongue. I get reminded that I am not yet a perfect man. Anytime I find myself winding off in speech, and of course, it happens when I'm in the midst of people, I know to a measure that having a purified heart and being a charity man is the long-term solution. But my short-term solution has been to generally avoid unnecessary company and embrace solitude. I find that quietness or being alone with another person breeds opportunity to evil speaking as you seek for things to talk about. For example, I try to walk alone to the bus stop and not enter the same buses with my colleague, even though a brethren, to avoid office gossip, but I fear it may be misconstrued as something else, such as malice. It may not start off as gossip, but when I reflect, I always find many things I ought not to have said. Another example, I tend to excuse myself from the office space when a boss who talks a lot or likes to make comments about everything comes around. I know I can't keep hiding. How can I build confidence to be in the midst of a company and not seen in words?
It's good to want to seek to be perfect. But you just know that the way to perfection is not to adopt a mode. A mode is going to be another religious dogma that will not lead to transformation. I just going to talk to, I won't talk to anybody in the morning anymore. See, that morning is the time, every morning I won't just talk to anybody. So anybody that comes around to you, hi, brief walk. Brother, hi, brief walk. That is normally a life led by the Spirit. So any change that's going to be really changing our life must be an instruction by the Spirit. And most of the time, when the thing that comes by the Spirit, it comes in the moment to tell you the way out. Because there's no way that it's a permanent way out. A way out today, the devil must die tomorrow and use it against you. So there's no permanent thing that works. It is the Holy Spirit that knows things that are deep, things that are secrets. The Spirit knows the devil. He knows the ways of sin. He knows you. So he can guide you each time. So if he says today, avoid talking in the office to this morning, that could be good for this morning. It means you are obeying the Spirit. You are not obeying your own formula for escape. Because your formula will disappoint you many times. And so, by strength shall no man prevail. It doesn't matter how much you want to be perfect. You can't get it done by your strength. You need to depend on the Spirit. You need to depend on knowledge of doctrine, which also tells you what to say, what not to say. Tells you what to say. There are times things that be going on that the world will revert it. Maybe there's a gossip somewhere, and you get in there, and you see what is going on. What you admit can revert the oppressor of that gossip. If they want to even continue that gossip, they may have to dissolve that gathering. There are places you get to people say, he has come again. They just dissolve. They know that that kind of gossip can't thrive where you are. They dissolve it. So if it's that you have grown doctrine in you, they will know that your lifestyle does not allow it, and nobody who has that mindset will cook it around you. So by the Spirit, in terms of Holy Ghost instructing you, by also doctrine learning, you can gain mastery on what to say and what not to say. Let not evil communication proceed out of your mouth. He's giving instruction after he has taught you. He has taught you how to be empowered in the inner mind by the Spirit, but to be strong in your spirit, all of that. He has done all of that. He cannot instruct you and say, let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth. So if you don't have power within your spirit, evil communication will proceed out of your mouth. If you have even said it before, you know what's up. So I think one of the problems that when you get to these places, you have misbehaved before you know it. So you need to engage more the consciousness of the Holy Ghost with you and ask him to help you. Today, Lord, help me. If you don't yet have enough matter of doctrine, let the Holy Ghost help you to know what to say, not what to say. When to walk away, when not to walk away. Lord, just be my guide. Be my help. And in tune with the Spirit. That is the place where all of us began with. Later, you go to find out when you get doctrine, that many people you said are in doctrine. But you have not gained knowledge of doctrine. So his voice is what guides you, instructs you, tells you how to do it, when to do it, how to withdraw, when not to withdraw. Keep obeying. That's one of the training you have in following the Spirit. And you'll find out that over time, you will gain the confidence. I think this person also has a problem with crowd. Yes. What do you call it, sir? Say it to the microphone.
Claustrophobia.
Okay. So you have problem with crowd. Right. When people are many, they seem to control you. You don't have enough strength of assertion of your conviction. So people dominate your environment. And so you are going to also, as you pray in the Holy Ghost the more, you will go to gain more boldness. Because that's your personality or what you went through experience. Maybe you have parents that silence you. Very soon the thing lie down. You are good with everything. Though you are not good with everything. But your state of quietness shows you are good with everything. So now if you pray with the Holy Ghost the more, you will start gaining your boldness back. And you'll be able to accept or agree the dimension, your convictions and your persuasions in the midst of many people. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. The next one. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. How do we handle a situation where a brother tells a sister that she's too slim? She should add up in some parts of her body, like a form of body shaming, jokingly. We are supposed to support and appreciate one another. Secondly, how do we handle situations whereby a sister is being repeatedly asked when she's getting married or being teasingly told, you cannot get a husband with this, your behavior. And a brother makes you feel every time that he has an upper hand as a male. These words are hurtful and demoralizing. Please, sir, do help us with wisdom to handle this situation.
Okay, let me start from the side of the person who's been who's exposed to this. I believe you need to have an identity assertion. There's not even if the church does not do it, say all these things to you, they will say it outside. They will say that work. They will say something here and there. Somebody will even act it without saying it. You know what I'm saying? And so you need to come to a point to have confidence in your person. Okay? Look at yourself in the mirror and like who you are. Like who you are. Many of us, you don't like exactly this person is a lady. Most ladies have that conflict in life. There's one they have that is the right size. Their head is just smaller than the way others are. Their legs are just a little bit longer than the way others are. Their nose is just too smaller than the way others are. Their own nose is flatter than... So when they look at the mirror, they see flaws in themselves. So you need... If you don't want to have said it, even in yourself, you're already saying it. So when somebody said a little, you see the way the voice will run through your system. And because you're inside you, you have agreed with it. So build up your, sometimes be new to yourself and look at yourself and be okay with yourself. Without putting any clothes. Because sometimes you do a lot in clothing to add value to yourself. It is the way to that one person dance. Who told you? Who marks dance where you dance alone? So you can call yourself 100 and be happy. So that's first from your identity. That's what I'm talking about. Just is not taking away that your identity. It's not taking away your identity. Because the way we have learned spirituality in the past is to blow yourself from yourself. Delete yourself. That is not true. That is not true. They won't invest so much in you to look like this if you don't exist. And so, like yourself. The first thing, good thing you can do for yourself is to like yourself. Come on, say, I like myself. Yeah, touch your body, touch your body, touch your body, touch your skin, touch your bony body. Yeah. Boy, you are good. Boy, you are fine. Yeah. You know, amazingly, if you like yourself, that if you look at mirror and like yourself, in 2 weeks, you'll be amazed. Somebody will comment on you. What you don't desire, you don't attract. You don't. Yeah, so...
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Says the Spirit, I made you. I made you, fearfully made. You were put together. You are a wonder before other creatures. You are a wonder. Yes, you are a wonder. It is sin that turned your eyes away from the wonder. It is sin that turned your eyes away and made you see that you were not beautiful. I can't make something ugly. I didn't make something ugly. Believe that I made you. I framed you. It doesn't matter what you feel that your frame is. I gave you that frame. And you must like your frame. Like what you see. Because it will be with you for a very long time. You will look like that even after now. Yeah, love it. Love yeah. yourself. Yeah. Love yourself. Love yourself. Fall in love with what I made. For it is beautiful. The more you fall in love with it,
the more you make the most beautiful part of it to come out, to show forth, to show forth, to show forth. If I made it, it is beautiful. If it's beautiful, it's good for you, says the Spirit.
Amen. So whatever is not good cannot be improved on. If it's bad, we discard it. It's when a thing is good, it can be better. A bad cannot become no. It goes worse. That's comparison. Yeah. Bad, worse, worst. So it has to be good for us, for it is better. So if you want to improve yourself, improve on yourself, improve on what God is doing in you, do something good that's already on you. So you must see that good, appreciate it, and look away for now for what cannot be improved. Along the line, if you can improve it, good. If you cannot, no wahala, I'm good. And I like the Bible. The Bible does use more about good. If you look at the Bible, type good and type excellent. You'll see more of good there. The Lord is good. He's good, goodness, good. And God saw everything made, it was good. So from there, you can bring something better from it. But it's just good. So that is the sense you have to do. I tell you, I told many years ago, when I was growing up, I was very tall, you know. Having this height without having even the flesh I have now. You know, very tall. And I tried to want to hide everywhere. Just want to hide in every place. Just want to bend and reduce the height everywhere. Until I got to university and I found that girls just like the height. I said, what? At first, I thought they were ridiculing me. Until this, I like your height. I like your height. So this height is good somewhere. So confidence came back. So if I didn't meet that class of, and because they, you know, those girls are well to do background, they are there. If you go from to another place, maybe sorry to say, I don't want to mention. If you get to some schools where everybody's eyes looking down. They also be teasing you, and you would look down yourself throughout. But I think those girls they also have junior brothers or senior brothers at home who are like that, very expressive. Oh, Dele, you are looking fine. I like your height. Some of the women stay behind you and just take a picture, all of that. So confidence came back, and I'll say that what they gave me, I could have given myself. I could have given myself for a long time and be happy. So please help yourself, okay? Thank you. Okay, the other side. Okay, the other side of the person body shaming, we don't encourage that, and it's not good. It's bad. It's bad. Don't be quick to comment on people's whatever seems deficient in them. Don't joke with it. Don't play with it. Don't make it your playing pattern. Because you don't know what you can see. You can see what this person is already feeling now. So you add to it. You add hurt to it. It's not a good way of friendship, okay? A friend should sharpen or help his friend. It should get his friend better. If any association is not getting you better, then it's better to get out of it. Close portion is not changing. Please walk away from him. Give him brief attention. Don't open yourself until you are able to build enough strength to give him words that will stop him. I like the way I am. I'm good. I'm beautiful. I'm not in a haste. You know, the answers you give to people that just one, two time answers that shut their mouth up. Until you can gain that boldness, you can avoid the person a little bit until you can. And I'm sure if any pastor come across or leader come across that, they will actually stop it. We don't encourage it in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. What? Let's clap. What do I do concerning a friendship I felt I poured a lot into only to be accused of not having the other person's best interests, with the other party recounting different scenarios which I had no ill intentions? Also, finding out the person has made some moves on some applications abroad without informing me, and also finding out that the person is not following the word of righteousness as well anymore.
That is only part. Maybe all along, the person never really belonged. Maybe. Or maybe your attitude also could put the person off to an extent of just for feeling that if the person is not open to the whole community, maybe it's a close friendship. And sometimes you have a friend that is a friend alone, and you enjoy the friend for a long time. The day you hurt him or her, he walks away. So he feels that we have hurt him. But that's not true. If it's a close friendship, then you could be part of the people that was responsible, because now you're talking about mentioning many scenarios, different scenarios that you hurt him. Though you have no, had no ill intention, but you could see scenarios yourself. So it means that you were not careful or discerning enough to know how your behavior lands on the other person. So I think apart from this, now you have to be careful about that. You have to be discerning what you say. What is the effect on another person? You don't talk and walk away. I've told us that words is a messenger. You send it to either build or destroy, heal or what? Demoralize. And so you have to be careful about what you say. What is the effect? What is the feedback? When you said it, the person really responded with cheerfulness, with a good spirit, or he walks away from you just quietly. And some of us are not, we don't really watch all those things, just talk, not walk away. React. You are not seeing anything. You have done damage to 10 people in a day without knowing. And your own conscience, in fact, sincere. So your sincerity is not enough. Truth has to come into your soul to guide your sincerity. And, you know, people like that can start crying. I don't know. I never. Cry does not solve the problem. Come back and attend to yourself. Attend to yourself and attend to feedback you get from people. They say, that way you talk hurt me. Don't explain it. Look at what you said. And even though if you say it, you will feel that it's not a bad way to say it. Look for another way to say it. Are they in answer now? If you look at what you said to you, what's wrong about this now? Then he said it hurt him. It's not in your body. It's in that person's personal body. So reframe what you have said in another way if it will not be hurting. And that is how to, anybody that's going to make a friend must be friendly. You don't make a friend by combustion. You make a friend, you have to go to friendly. You have to develop friendly attitudes that is either proved or that has also actually been, that has maybe having by other people that can make them receive more of you. And that is going to be that, okay, knowing that, you develop more of it so I can make more friends. Okay? You can't make a more friend when you stay within the box of your person and you want others to take you the way you are. Those who get to you will get more hot, more and more. And if you don't have a feedback like this one, others are keeping quiet. And the day you're going to get feedback, you're going to be disappointed. All of you are not my friend. You mean all of you are seeing the same way also? All of you are seeing the same way also? Oh my God, I'm in a strange place. Because they are not too sure if they say it, that will be fine. So your friendship, it must be that it has that measure of openness that people can talk, tell you, give you feedback of the things you do. And you will actually look at it and see if there are things to adjust in it. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. Jesus said in Beatitudes that we should resist evil, or we should not resist evil. And if someone slaps our right cheek, we should turn the left. I work in a corporate world, and it is dog eat dog out there. There is an assertiveness that is required so that people will not ride over you or cheat you. How can I keep this commandment in my workplace?
Jesus did not say, take your chic everywhere. For them to slap you. So you can't take a scripture in isolation. We have said before now that God makes you wonderfully, fearfully made. God frame you as an object of honor, respect, and all of that. And you should carry yourself in that way. If you carry yourself like that, I'm sure that occasion of slapping you will be rare. This is a rare occasion of abuse. I've said to you before, an eye for an eye. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye. And a tooth for a tooth. So when you see an eye for an eye, what happened? It has been proved that it was intentional. Because there are sometimes people bring odds, and it's not intentional. People even kill, it's not intentional. That's why they create cities of refuge. For men to run to, so that the avenger of blood will not slay. So, intentionally done, proved, then the city or the nation will arrange how to also remove your own tooth or your own eye. So it's not that, it's not just like that. Somebody blow your eye now and by yourself blow their judgment is within this matter. I think you know what I'm saying now? So it's not personal judgment. So what is what should I say that if it happened like that, you may not look for judgment. They have the judgment system. They have handles every case. And there's no case you are going to affect by yourself. Okay. So, just like he's talking about if the police, if they see the officer gets you, asking to want to take your clothes, give him your so. He's talking about in a place where there's insistence to go that way. Doesn't mean when police ask you and he's asking for everything. He's asking for, you just keep on giving everything he's asking you for. And you're not asking, officer, you need this. Why are you asking for this one? There's a limitation of what he can ask you by the law. I think you know what I'm saying? So it's not saying whatever he's asking you. Until he collects all your union papers. And he walks away. And leave you there. So it's not talking about some things are rightfully your right by law. It's not saying that forego it and be as if there's no law anywhere. I think that's what I'm saying now. But if the other person now behave rashly on the other extreme, you don't pay it back. You can allow the law to take its course. If the law is going to take its own eye, let them take its own eye. But you're not pushing anything. You're not trying to force judgment by all means. I don't know what I'm saying. You're not trying to bring judgment by yourself. And so it's not saying that put your big cheek everywhere. I've told you that they've stabbed your cheek twice. You may lose your identity, you know what I'm saying? And anyway, how many times have they slapped your cheek? If it means, I can't talk about your cheek, physical cheek. They may never slap your physical cheek. But there are other areas of life where you'll be cheated like that. And it's not every time you can always get judgment back. So you must sometimes learn how to let go and go and let God, who is a judge for all, take over the judgment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. What are God's thoughts and the gospel's take on polygamy?
Okay. Simply said, because these are evolving issues. I will keep on coming anyway. That's always been coming before. God's thought is that He has a plan in the beginning. In the beginning, He made them male and female. And so shall a man, not some men, leave his father and his mother and join to his wife, not his wife's. And they two shall be one flesh. Now that was day two, not day three. Not for some, not three sons. Okay, that is what God had in mind from the beginning. We understand the beginning also as his laws. That is the area where we have problem with. The beginning, as there are laws that God put in place or put in men that make them run this effectively. Actually, the issue of a man and woman is mostly for, number one, to show the mystery of Christ and the church. That's number one. And number two is to also to be able to create godly family. So where there's no family on the earth, yeah, there's chaos. Okay? God says, don't split families. The family is what the devil wants to destroy it at this time. He doesn't want the family. So God put that as a way to organize the human world. And in God's way, and by his law, this is how to achieve it. And Jesus brought that in Matthew, as to them to know what God expects and what every human being should race towards. This is not the condition for going to heaven. It's the condition for perfection. So it does not mean those who are polygamous will not go to heaven. That does not exist in the Bible. It's not true. So there are things that are beginning laws that those who are striving for eternal life, for example, must keep. If you don't truly, you are striving for eternal life, you have to keep that. Because it means that you want to align with the beginning laws. And going through that, there can still be a lot of problem because the man, the woman here is a whole person. Not the one that was there today. So I'm saying not the accidental man and the wounded woman. I think I'm saying that. So they can engage the law and attain harmony. That the things that are essential. How many of the things that your husband wants you to do today that you are willing to do? How many of the things that your wife wants you to do that you are willing to be there for? See what I'm saying? So there are failure in our frame that may not make those who are in this, if they are not keeping the everlasting laws, they may have a lot of crisis and problem. So it's not a law to be enforced. It's a law to be to embrace. I don't know if I'm saying that. Blah, blah, blah. It's not a lot to enforce. It's a lot to embrace. It means that if you know, if people involved know that they can't keep the law, they are afraid to take my wife. It doesn't take them from everyone. Only that your travel towards the eternal life will have problem. You have caught it in a way there. And you can't make you an example to a community of a people who are traveling that road. I don't know what I'm saying now. So it's not an absolute 0000. No. Like church make it and trouble is going on every many places. It's not. Because all this, somebody doesn't even know about the promise of life. It's trying to keep you to make heaven. It's not true. It's not the quality, it's not a thing to keep to make heaven. Go and check very well. Jesus now said, it is good for a man not to marry. If the case be the so. It's not good to marry. So it means that if there's a kill leg with this woman throughout my life, I don't pie with that. Then let me stay single. Jesus now said to them, all men cannot receive this saying. Share your understanding, the thing. Uh-huh. So sometimes we don't know where to play the next turn. So the church will have to manage all the complexity around this than be myopic about it. There are complexities. There are really complexities. There are really complexities. Where the woman has a problem, a issues there, and you are not to set her aside. And the man is going to die 50 years to keep that woman as a wife. So it must be that it is revealed to him, paying the price, worth it, than being forced to do it. I don't know. Because once he does otherwise, he leaves church to go and die in sin. And that thing does not condemn to death. It's not sin unto death. Now these are hard sayings, sorry to say. But I say them because they are true. And so, extremities of not understanding the context of the things that Jesus teach and to whom he taught it. Even apostles say a hard thing. Apostles. Follow Jesus. And Jesus say, hey, you are joking with your head. See, Jesus' approach to it. All men cannot receive this. Just if you don't go to heaven. Sorry if that jota your theology. Go and check it very well. So, if you know the Allah of only two women, you also know that it's not easy. In righteousness. See, you understand now? So which one? To suffer on one lane? Or to be talking about on two lanes? So if a man come up with this kind of thing, these are the things the church should make bear to him. Then he will make his choice. He makes his choice. He doesn't have to leave church because he's not denying Jesus. He's not denying Jesus. Only one thing is just a problem that he feels that you pastors, you are not understanding my problem. Pastor, I've met you 10 times on this matter. You are not understanding my problem. I'm alone in this problem. All of you are doing, you are not seeing me every day. See what I'm saying? So one day, he will decide on what to do. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Wow. Thank you. Let's give that a hand. These are not the regular answers you will find. Thank you, Daddy, for that. Please, I've been observing lately about married women. Once they get married, they turn themselves like slaves. They dress like as if they are not happy in their marriages, especially those that give birth to one kid. They dress nonchalantly as though they had lived all their lives in stress. Yes, childhood and all come with stress, but it shouldn't give room to dress shabbily and nonchalantly as if their husbands aren't taking care of them well. We thank God for the brothers in these waters who are married and still listen to authorities and messages. If not, they would have gone out to look for what wasn't lost in other women to be lusting after them, all because their wives decided to become an old woman who was very young and beautiful before. Please, pastors, help us look into this matter. It makes the single to be scared of getting married, thinking something is going wrong in the marriage. And this is very popular in Ondo, an accurate church.
Oh my God. He has nailed you people.
I would have loved to call names of these women, but I won't do that. After now, and I don't see a change in the women, I might be pushed to call out their names next time. Please and please, there should be a change. Give us reasons to look forward to getting married. Too sharp for your husbands, both public and privately. I stand to be corrected.
Oh man, oh man. Okay, this is a... You know, this is we are in a generation that cannot be really silenced too much. So, even if you mention that their names, we won't mention their names here. We'll delete it. Yes. We're trying to solve a problem. We're not trying to create a problem. But I want to say that you are not yet married. And because you're not yet married, you have your speck of what ladies should look like and all of that. And now you are seeing the married people maybe looking not like that. They're not wearing what they used to wear before. Now that makes you feel like they are kinky, yeah? They're not in your world anymore. That's the truth. An assessment of them cannot be from you. If it's the husband that's talking now, it will be a matter. So, singles, assessment of married people is not in your hand. Until you get there, you now know how it goes. I understand that we're not saying that's that we can indulge carelessness. But I also feel that this person lives with married people. So it's not a judgment of public face. It's what he sees, what he sees at home. And let's also address that. That some women can be very careless. Extra careless at home. So know that singles around you are watching you. Are watching you. You tie rapper?
Yes.
Taraba. And not just Taraba for 5 minutes, Taraba for hours. In the house. That thing, that Taraba is not clothed. It's not good. If it doesn't fall off, it doesn't define your femininity. You are still a feminine person. If you are wearing boxer, you are wearing three-quarter, you are wearing three-quarter. If you are wearing gown, you are wearing gown. Can you wear a pant and go outside the house? So when you're also in the house, you are dressing. So rapa is not a dress because you can't dress out with rapa. It's not a good attitude. I understand that you have babies, you back them. But these days, we have ladies that really back babies fully. Even if they back, they still put the children on their clothes and use another rapa to hide. That's why they do these days. So please, if we have all those attitudes, let's just know that people are living with us. And let's get a good sense of fact that that we're not too careless. Then I give the rest of the job to their husbands. Husband, help your wife. They have mentioned Ondo and Akure. And anyway, Ondo and Akure are the largest married people. So if other assemblies, how many people are married in Ife? So it's a youth church, young church. Oshobu, how many people are married there? Abeokuta, they are getting married gradually now, but how many people are still married there? So it's just showing the way the churches will look like at the end of the day. Okay. So I'm only saying that generally I don't feel our people are not dressing well. I don't know from my own estimation. In church. People dress well to church. Okay. So I see you in church every day. Oh, that's another side. So how do you dress at home? How do you dress to work? All of that does not require expensive dressing. Just a good sense of dressing. So men, please don't. Can I even call all men now? Because all men themselves need to be helped. But it's your job. It's really your job. So if your wife is not dressing well outside, it's your problem. It's your fault. It's your fault. The day they will send the names to us, we will call you. We will call you on the phone. You come and answer our elders. Why your matter has become so dispronounced. That's it. Mama will be there. Okay, generally, please, let's just twitch up a little bit, okay? Let's dress better. Let's have a good sense of dressing. Away from church. Or that's true. I see you in church all the time. When they have new clothes, the only place they wear new clothes to church. Please wear new clothes to your place of work. Wear new clothes on a normal day. 7 days of the week. How many of the hours do we spend in church? So the way you are dressed, mostly is the dressing you put on away from church services. So thank you. We'll look more on that. Femina, mommy? Yes, sir. It's not your call to... Thank you. Let's go ahead, please.
Thank you, Daddy. A hand for Daddy, please. Okay. My question is from last Sunday's teaching, so many Sundays ago. Daddy talked about how that repentance is not just being sober. Repentance is turning a change. That repentance leads to conversion. Daddy read Acts 3:19. He said, before Apostle Peter started telling them in verse 19 that they should repent, he had already said some words to them, like preached to them already. So my question is, after hearing the word, then we repent, which leads to a conversion in us. And then the law of Christ is written in us. Or is it that after hearing the word of God, we receive the law and we respond, which leads to conversion? Then the law is well written in us again.
Okay. You're talking about what leads to conversion? I would say that it's hearing the word. The word at the point becomes a law to you, not yet a law in you. As you learn knowledge, it becomes a law to you. It becomes a working tool. That's what you see now as what works. Not because you have used it, but because you have understood it. So when it becomes, it's a law to you, as you use the law, it's law to you, it becomes law in you. When it becomes law in you, then it converts you. That's to be a law in you because of conversion. Your conversion means that you are turned, you are changed. You are new. You are new. You are not what you are a new. You have been altered, you have been changed inside. So it means that the law is already residing in you. And the law keeps on also instructing you from within. You know, there's a way you learn from your spirit. You learn from what is being taught to your mind. And you are seeing light of knowledge from it. But when it becomes law to your heart, not just your spirit, your heart has believed it, is using it, it becomes law to your spirit. If you look at the Ezekiel 36, for I will take from among you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you. He's telling you how he was going to do it. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will cleanse you. Cleanse a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit. A new heart, a new spirit. It's not the same. And I will take away the stony heart. So it is when the law is in your heart that the stony heart is dealt with. When you have the new spirit, you can still have a contrary law in your heart against this new spirit. So using the law that is revealed to you as true now is what really put a new heart that takes away the stony heart. Taking away the stony heart and making it flesh is conversion. It's changing nature. So that's why the fact that you can see the law coming from your spirit does not mean it's not yet yours. You must know when the law is in your heart. It means if it's in your heart, it means that that is your working tool. Because what you live by every moment is not your spirit, it's your heart. Then you're going to see that I will put my spirit. Can you see that? Verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk. And so, I'm saying, whatever is in your heart leads to walking. Because what you normally walk with. If it's in your spirit, you will walk by it when the spirit gives you. When the spirit gives you, you walk by it. When you don't pick it from the spirit, you walk by yourself. But what's in your heart, it becomes the new normal. New normal to walk with. Okay? Thank you. Let's just start again, spirit.
Thank you, Daddy. Mm-hmm. Does one have to be outright led to know who to marry amongst one circles of marriageable friends? Or is it safe to be able to marry any of them? I'm asking from the lens of a male to his female friends.
Okay.
And then also a female to her male friends.
Okay, well. I always say that from yourself, you must get to a point where you can, if the Lord has to instruct you on any one of them, you are good to go. I always say that's the right sense of your sexual balance. To have 3, 4, 5 people and 3 speaking, if the Lord instructs on any one of them, you are okay. That does not mean you should go ahead. That is not enough to go ahead. Well, at least accept to that a job has been done in you. Because the former job that was done by the enemy is to look at only one. And nothing must, like an eagle is looking at his prey. You build fence, you create bridges, and build bad wire around her. You know what I'm saying? You are here, it's in Akure, and your eye is looking at what is going on in Akure around her there. Because she must not escape. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. That is the wrong sense we're talking about. That is the sixth sense we're talking about. But now that has been solved. You are sincerely in your heart. And then you cannot move to the next phase of praying to God and say, who among them? Or who anywhere? There must be an instruction per time that you are persuaded on one of them. Because it's going to be one or polygamy. So it's going to be one of them. So that is the next phase of where you need prayer. Because there are a lot of things that are in the unseen realm that heaven has to set to while you are picking your last choice. So we just say that God still instruct. What we're saying is that when you say God still instruct, God instruct per time, per season, does not mean that without that person, never. It can never be. No. I think we have said that before. There's no person that without him, nothing, it can never be. It is the one you have now that you will say is God's will that is looking for him, that you know. You don't know what could have happened if you had no choice. So it is what we see that we celebrate. So this is a perfect match. Beautiful. That is the situation now. God has many perfect match that you don't know. No, we are not going to be looking for all the perfect match. One is okay. I think you get what I'm saying? So that gives the sense of if what you pray on your mind, person says, I'm not seeing you. They're not getting sick for the next 1 year. And they are treating malaria. And malaria is not going. Yeah, because you have been hot in your heart. Because somewhere there, your heart still stuck to that person in the midst of many. That sister you're looking at is already engaged. Somebody that has been taken. So it's looking like he's even single. It's already betrothed. You can look away, and you look away healthily. All this we're talking about is how to maintain healthy health. Want health within you. Also want health in our assembling. We don't want to be sick. While you're just attending church. You're just looking at that one. Everybody is seeing you, you're not seeing anybody. You know what I'm saying? Because you have been hurt. Your mind is not. It's not. We want to be healthy. That's why we all say all of this. So, from all the two sides, there's a person per time. God has his mind on one person per time. But it can change. And that's why God has changed. It means God's intention and purposes are progressive. Do you get it? Just like Revelation also is progressive. That's the way it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. A hand for Daddy, please. Please, I need your counsel regarding a situation that has been troubling me concerning one of my siblings. He has refused to associate or acknowledge our mother because of events that happened in the past. He still holds on to those experiences as though they happened yesterday and believes that our mother is a witch, which I know is not true. In fact, he's the only one among us who sees her that way. He refuses to visit her or have any relationship with her, even though he's a pastor in his local church. Everything he says about our mother is untrue, and I can confidently say this because I've witnessed many things myself. From my perspective, I also feel that he's using these accusations as a way of avoiding his responsibilities towards the family. For example, when our father was buried, he refused to come home or even contribute financially. His reason was that our mother had offended him and that she was a witch. Because of this belief, he has stayed away from her for many years. My question is, what do you think can be done in this situation? I also have another concern. Should I continue to maintain a close relationship with this sibling? Whenever we talk, he constantly tries to convince me that our mother is responsible for every problem in the family and even blames her for the difficulties faced by other siblings. I have done everything I can to help him see things differently and encourage reconciliation, but he refuses to listen. Instead, he continues to speak negatively about our mother and tries to influence my thoughts. about her. Please, Daddy and Mommy, what is the best way to handle this situation? I will sincerely appreciate your advice.
Okay, so there are cases like this that happen in families. You can have one, you can have two. So just know that people have their own opinions. Something that you don't have all the power to change. And so, you say he's a pastor, but there's no way to help this person except you can send a pastor in their church that you have access to. And I think this kind of pastor should be reported to his church. This kind of pastor should be exposed. So let whatever comes be the judgment of their church. Then you will count the whole church to be like that. Say, you know what I'm saying? They can be like a black sheep. That may not be the way of their assembly. So I will say that. Prayerfully look at if there could be such grant you have and expose him. Or tell him, sir, this behavior is over the years I've tried to make you see that this is not the way to think. It's not a righteous way. And I may have to inform your church about this. You can write the letter to your church. Because he's standing as a believer. Much more leading people can put up a good write-up and send it to their leadership. It's a wish. The Bible does not give it the right itself not to honor her. There's no condition for honor your father and your mother. There's no condition. It's a commandment with promise. So if a Christian does not have that element, then I think you are worse than an infidel. So, please, it's good to establish this to be either his own way of life or their church way of life. Then the other thing is, let him know your standpoint. And when you cross that, talking stops. Either it's your senior or junior. You know my standpoint on this matter? Anytime you cross it, then our talk stop and effect it. Let him walk away. All this is not difficult, really speaking. Sometimes one requires begging. After we have talked and begged and explained, and you are too persuaded that you are on the wrong side, then I will treat you very well. Don't fight him. Don't create a fight by yourself. If by all this you are doing, and if now start to fight you, it's his problem. It's his problem. Still maintain salutation. Even when he wants not to fight you, maintain salutation. How are you, sir? Good afternoon, sir. Let him ignore it. As long as the WhatsApp, as long as it has not blocked your number, keep sending it to him. You are not going to break the cord. He's going to break the cord. That is his problem. Because some people, they call them, how did people call them? Unreasonable men. It means that they don't respond to reasoning. They don't respond until they crash. They know. So when you meet them, there's not much you can do. Because they have never used that faculty of reasoning. Go and check it also with his wife, with his children. We have the import everywhere. It can't be towards that alone. So please, maintain peace. As long as light within you. What do they say? With what? All men. So, all men. So you're going to put all the man to ensure you live peaceably, but don't let him assess your field of anyhow with that discussion. Bro, if he's a brother, bro, please drop that. Let's talk on something else. You will see that those behaviors will check his heart. His conscience that is adding. So you see that he reacts and decides to throw you away, or he will start discovering that is not a borderline of discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy, for that. As a believer who believes in family life and supernatural finances through the word of righteousness in our community, but grew up in a broken home and a financially financial deficiency mentality, people who believe in hard work and struggle, I need answers on how to break free from fear of repeating incident of broken home, and answers on how to break free from such financial deficiency mentality among people I grow up with totally. I want total enlightenment.
Just continue hearing what you are hearing and doing them. You're already hearing what can break you free. Apply your heart to what you are hearing. It will break it. When it is time to give, you give. Give your tithe, give your offerings. Do it consistently. Help your brethren. Apply your heart to walk your hands, the things that are necessary. From there, you're wiser and wiser by the doctrine. And how to live a life different from that. You come to know that you are not really part of that system. You are blessed. You are not really cursed. Because sometimes people see this as a curse on their family. Yeah, we have been blessed. And because we are blessed, you can only offer righteousness. You are too sure of that. So all of that built over time that gives you that strength to implement God's thought without limitation. Because the things that create failure are within us. Yes. It's not just you have an idea. What's going to kill the idea within you? Your fears, your doubts, your past experiences. What people say, all of that. Because something, you get across some problem, they will start pointing you back to your past. That's the way it happened in your past. That's the way it happened in your family. You don't have connection with that. If you have a problem now, it's a problem to be solved. Not a problem linked to your family. Can you get a point in your life when you just know that you are a new, brand new being, different from where you are coming from? Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
But that thing can pursue you to your grief. I'll be showing you the other examples. So the reason why that seed died is that it imports from that past. It's not the event of now that kill it. But that same seed in another man's hand, we thrive. We thrive. In the same situation, we thrive. And because he has access to right, I think somebody did an experiment, planted two seedlings in the pot, put two of them on the window, and began to speak right words to the other one. I began to curse the other one. And when they shot, the other one began to die. With that way, and the other one began to try. Just to know that power of tongue, but the tongue also is connected to your heart. Because you can't use tongue alone. Tongue is a driver of the heart. You can't speak conflicting your heart. It won't work. So what should be done first is your heart. Your belief system. To know where are enemies. Where are enemies? Enemies are not the enemies. They are not the witches. Enemies are the forces they are planting you against yourself. But each time the enemy refers you to them, he magnifies the enemy. And it weakens your power to create change. So if you implement all of that over time, you're going to just find out. When I said I'm too sure I'm blessed, that is not come overnight. I'm not saying because I'm in pulpit. That is the way I see myself. I see myself as resourceful. I see myself as I have things to add. I have things to do to change what is going on. So when you have those things, resources of those things start flowing through you. It's not you have a tough idea. It's not you have a tough how you will solve it. Then you have opened the portal of flow of God's thoughts and wisdom are all over you, are all around you. But there's a portal of limitation you have within your heart against it. So when you just say the enemy of a man, you say, no, I his household, you know what it's talking about? Well, it's not easy to accept because my enemy has, but I want to enter in a court. Maybe my day. Those things are oyemi. Oh, grandma's oyemi. Somebody made it real to you. It's to ensure that nothing in your hand can freely flow without their own influence. You're going to severe it by understanding. Yes. It is then you can have free flow of life for things to work. It may not be easy, but I can tell you that changes will come. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy, for that. I need answer, counsel, on how to go about the matter, sir. I happen to know of a family where grandchildren are being nurtured by their grandma due to some financial issues of those children's parents. The way I see the grandma breed them seems declining toward his right upbringing. The grandma will insist that the children wear clothes that are dirty around. Even when I try to give those children clean clothes, then grandma told those children to keep the clothes that they can only wear out for church or outings. Grandma doesn't allow the children to play outside or play around. They are mostly locked inside. The grandma has instilled fear in those children to the extent that the children are afraid of receiving gifts from me or any other person that tries to. Sir, what can be done to help those children?
I don't even know who you are to the children. Huh? Like a neighbor, okay. Or where the children are, okay. So if you are living close to such a family arrangement, there's nothing you can do. There are some things that are problems that are not in your, in the power of your hand. Yeah, you're going to be seeing them this way. Until if God arranges by whatever means to bring their parents close to you, that they need your contribution or advice. And you have to be sure that the parents are not also seeing like their grandma is seeing. Or they will report to grandma. And you make more enemy. So, you can't change every situation on that ear. So, some of them, you have access to change. But generally, I want to advise that we always say here, we are not trying to destroy or reduce your trust in your natural family. All we're saying is that your natural family is not exposed to teachings, trainings that you are exposed to that can bring the life, the influence that you have to your children. So they can't do more than visit grandma. Because some of us, because your grandma raised you, you trust your grandma so much that you can put your children with them and walk away. That's not a safe system. What is safe that we know is our community. And please use that very well. We're not trying to say that you should not pay your due to your parents, pay your due to your grandparents, all of that. But in terms of children raising, it's sensitive. Whatever is done to them at those early stages may be irreparable. In fact, the things we are battling with us now, or with you now, where are they from? Background. How you were raised? That window of background. you need to come out easily, sir. It doesn't go, it becomes a window of viewing things. Even when you have access to God's word, you will need a lot of teachings and watchings. Or else you will use your window of mind to read Bible. It will pass through you. It will still be your window of background as the forbidden. I think what I'm saying? And so if you are raised from a very low background, you will still be teaching gospel with the mind of a low. I don't believe that people can be rich. You don't believe that people. Everyone that's rich is worldly. It's because of where you grew up from. Everyone that's rich from your background made money through a righteous process. So there's no way you're going to see a rich man today. You're going to feel like he made it righteously. And background. It's very essential. So don't let your children get exposed to backgrounds that can make their worldview. It may be difficult to change them over a long time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy, for that. Let's give Daddy a hand, please. Next, I'll take the next two there together. As a sister in this church, is it compulsory to marry a brother in this church?
No. Not compulsory.
The next one, since here in church, okay, this person asked a question that is the person I sent to you that said, ask the other question.
Okay.
Since here in church, we encourage friendship before marriage. What if there are no brothers or sisters in church that really catch our attention? How do we handle that?
You have said, it doesn't catch your attention. Then go and catch your attention. Sir. It's simple now. It doesn't catch your attention. Go and catch your attention. And you know in this house there, we can go with you on any of your lane. Now you go cook them. Now you go shop them. Yes, you want to be my own? You are still church members. Or at worst, they take you away. Yes. And as many as I've taken away, nothing has stopped us from doing what we're doing. Yes. So you all cannot be the first one. So if we teach, the way we teach is because we understand what it means to have a common background. If you have been here, for example, if you have been here, and you have actually taken CTA with what we teach, God, we have to order, if you're going to marry outside, God, we have to order it. That will be evident. It won't be that you are cashing, or else you will cash. You will cash what will cash you. It will cash you. And it's not going to be a simple journey to go in and come out from. And so we are not saying that to scare you. We are only saying that there are things outside. Go and check outside very well before you do your cash. Do your experiment very well and know how they cash. And now they also want to let go and it's not going. Yes. Uh-huh. So, it's in your hand though. Either it is alive or dead. You know that story? It's in your hand. Either it is alive or it is dead. It's in your hand. So you can have it the way you want to have it. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. I'm a student who is doing well in school, having over 4.5 CGPA currently, and is feeling pressured because a lot of eyes are on me.
Yes.
And I feel afraid because I don't want to go down or become less. Uh-huh. What do I do?
What do I do? Keep doing what I've been doing that kept you there. What's wrong with you? Look away from the prayer. Keep doing what you have been doing before. You don't change a walking tool, Abby. What works for you? Don't change it. I was telling one of my guys in the house yesterday, he was going to kill an insect. He killed the first insect before. He mixed two things. He then went to, going to kill it again. He went to go and buy one thing. I said, ah. You killed the one you used to. Try them. You want to kill it again? You want to go and buy one? How do you change your walking tool? Whatever works, keep using what works. Are you on it here for a settlement in your life? Are you a researcher? So if it's working, keep using it. And say your mind from whatever is coming from here and there. If you don't buy Jazzy, I just see. Glory to God. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Daddy. Is water baptism compulsory to do?
What about this is necessary to do? It's necessary, not compulsory. Why say compulsory is that you don't miss heaven by not being baptized. But when you are baptized, it consolidates your faith journey at the beginning. It strengthens your conscience in what you believe. Because it's an external issue that is observable. What you believe in your heart, you can doubt it. But what you do physically, you cannot doubt it. You can't doubt if you are a Christian, if you are baptized. Because you remember the event very well. But your experience in your heart can go haywire sometimes and the devil question your faith. So it's merely for the start point of faith. The beginning point. If you have gone in faith over time and you have your perception in faith, it doesn't add anything. That's what it says in Peter, right? But where for baptism now, not now. See that play, 1 Peter.
1 Peter 3:21.
The life we got well unto even baptism, not now, save us. Not the putting away of the faith, it does not put away the fruit of the flesh. But an answer, the answer of a good conscience toward So you need conscience in your journey toward. So baptism strengthens your conscience by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's what it does. It doesn't cleanse anything, but it's a backup strength against the conscience in the early start of the journey where doubts can arise to the heart. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. How do I help a neighbor who is addicted to alcohol, drugs? He behaves disorderly too, sometimes making me think he's slowly running mad. I pray for him. I've invited him to meetings, though he doesn't attend. Mm. But I think the help required for him is more than spiritual. It is also medical. Mm. But there's no one around him, even his family, who seems to be able to help him get the help he needs. I'm a little scared of him because he's a bit unpredictable.
You should be scared.
But I'm also scared for him because he's wasting away and those directly positioned around him are also clueless. I would have liked to engage him more, especially because he and his family issues and also sometimes affect our security.
So what do you want to do? Pray for him. Look out for an open time that you need. You know that the anointing of alcohol is not on his head. Look for something or when he's sober, when he has gone through experiences that has broken him, and see if that could be entrance in those through those means to get to him. Don't be overzealous on the matter. Don't be too close on the matter. Especially when you are of the opposite sex. And let's keep hoping that God will touch his heart along the line. I think he's a married man also. He's a married man. So he has his family. So if there's any way you can help the wife or the children, you can render help. But I think it's the main person there. Addiction is not simply broken. So keep praying and keep opening that door to preach to him. If it's possible for you that you're going to see people who are, you feel are more skillful in that area, maybe in church, brothers or sisters feel that are more skillful in handling such, you can talk to them about him if they will also have access to reach that person. That's how much you can do. Changes, deliverance belongs to God. So let's trust that you can have access to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. Mm. The next question was answered last month.
Okay.
So I don't think it's about ministers saying things that maybe is not correct about carbon dating and all those things you mentioned.
Okay. Read it. Let's see.
I used to feel scared to ask this question, but I desire understanding concerning it. How do I respond when some information ministers give during ministrations or counseling are not very correct, like in regular knowledge or stories, perhaps health information or something like that?
Okay.
If it is checked online, it is not true. Not because they wanted to say lies, but because maybe they were not yet well informed of it at that time. I sometimes find it difficult to go with what they say in such moments. And I tell myself to just agree with what they say. But my mind does not easily leave such. How can I be helped?
I think we said then, get across to authorities involved in those things and leave your information with them. And we've also instructed them, when you handle things that has to do with areas outside your profession, bring professionals inside to engage, supply their own parts that can have something holistic. Thank you.
For the purpose of clarity, what is the right word to use to explain the Trinity? Is it three in one or three are one? Or is there any differences or similarities between them?
What do you want to do with it? So the thing is, I don't get involved in Trinity discussion. Why they get involved in the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That agree, that are one. So, if you call it Trinity, is that what you're saying, Trinity? But Trinity is not in the Bible. So I don't want to get involved in concept that I'll be explaining. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. These three are one. So, So why not we stay there, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost? So, argument on the concept itself, those who brought the concept, has opened more door for more argument than teaching for edification. If you teach those things for edification, it silences them out. You can't say Jesus did not command us to preach in the name of the Father, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You can't say that he commanded us, and we keep preaching it, and we know what is in the name. And we know what were before the word began. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. So we know the Word made all things. And He's God. How can He be God? I don't know. Man, ask Him, He's God. So sometimes the things we create more problem. No problem. And try to explain it, you invent many other things. We are Trinitarian. We are I am not, I don't belong to any sect. I'm not a follower of any sect, any movement. I'm a follower of Jesus with the promise of eternal life. It's easier for me, and I've been there for a long time. I think I can be there. The longer I've been there, I'll be off the old walla. See what I'm saying? You didn't hear what I said? If I can be there, as long as I've been there, I won't be with you here. Praise the Lord. So I think so. Teaching, explaining our life, explaining the gospel in terms of people have access, is better than institutionalizing theological concepts. It don't profit anybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. As a couple who has two children and desires to have more, but due to her age and doctor's advice, she cannot give birth again, can they adopt or believe on Jesus for miracle because they are thinking of what people will say?
We have solved that problem many years ago. Go and get all our materials on, what do you call it now? On parenting, child raising, and surrogacy and the rest of that. We have a lot of things there. We can't go there today. But what people will say, delete that. If what people will say, we won't be born again. We'll still be in your sin. So we don't live by what we will say. We are already a people. What we say is what matters. We are the people. No people exist. We are the people. You should be afraid of what we say. You should come and look at what we have said. That is the judgment. Final. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. Hand for Daddy, please. In the last Q&A, sir, you answered the question concerning the origin of man, evolution, scientific methods of determining the age of the earth, and how long humans have existed. I found the answer very helpful as it addressed many questions I had on the subject. However, during the recently concluded Believers Convention, I had a statement to that effect that there is nothing to indicate that humans existed before Adam and Eve during our Big Daddy's ministration. I don't necessarily want to see this as a contradiction, but I will appreciate some light on how the two can be reconciled. Is it a matter of context, perhaps considering that the convention is a general meeting with a broad audience, or is there another way I should understand the statement? Thank you, sir.
Just keep the statement there. When you get to where to make meaning, it will make meaning. On the other side, it will make meaning. Keep it there. What do I make meaning now? Go with it. And don't throw away anything. Everything will make meaning along their line. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. Okay. In the newly released book, The Man Christ Jesus, around pages 34 to 35 of chapter 3.
Somebody's judging you already. Somebody has already judged you.
You have not got a copy. So, there is a discussion concerning the authority to forgive sins. I have always understood that while Jesus was on the earth, he was fully man. And in his humanity, grew to into the things he did. So, I had previously concluded that his authority to forgive sins was something he came into as he grew, rather than something he exercised from childhood. For example, I would not have thought that Jesus as a child could have simply said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." However, the discussion in the book seems to suggest that the ability to forgive sins belongs exclusively to God, which made me reconsider my understanding. Is my initial conclusion therefore incorrect, or have I misunderstood the point being made in those pages? More generally, how should we understand Jesus' authority to forgive sins in relation to his humanity and growth?
Okay. His humanity does not conflict his divinity. He moved from humanity to divinity. And so he was changing state along his what I call the evolution or his development. So he attained the state where he can forgive sin in God's stead. He must be in their world. To be in their world means that you can't be less than Christ. For what is in their world is Christ, is the Father, and God. They are the ones with the new. Okay? That's clear? Is that clear? So in the Word of God, that's why Christ came, is from God, is from that bosom. The Father is the bosom. And God is the hood of that bosom. Okay? So you have to be Christ. Like I said, Christ was hidden God. So Christ has been in God. Christ is in God, and Christ is God. I say God. God is there. God is not just a person. God is their genetic world. Just like man. Man has varieties. We have male and female. Man. God, in the God word, is the word of Christ, the Father, and God. You can also say there is the word of the Word, the Spirit, and the Father. That is their word. I think you get what I'm saying now? So in that world, that is the only place where forgiveness can come from. If you are not part of that world, you can't forgive sin. So when I say God, it can be Christ. Just like, for example, Paul said, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin. So it means that those who believe Christ also got to a point in their journey in Christ that they can forgive sin. Whosoever sin you remit, I remitted. So it means that they have power. But the way they remit is not just like, I forgive you. They bring the material of remission of sin to you. But Jesus, as one from that world, can forgive and say, your sins are forgiven you. Can you see what I'm saying now? But what he gives to us is the power from it. And the power is substance. The power is message. So we don't just go and say, your sins are forgiven. No. We preach, as we preach the teachings, then the sins of men, as they believe, they are remitted. Now that's not the way they do it from the world. But blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven and whose iniquities are covered. So in God doing that, God brought the law in to do that covering of sin. It's still God who gave it. But the God who gave it can do more than that. He can forgive it straight. And because soul is evolved, God will not also do that. Because if he will forgive your sin, as the sin left your soul, So that's why he's also going to come as an high priest to remit sin, to bring things to soul that can make soul relinquish the power of sin. I don't know if that's clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daddy. And to the last one.
Last one. Wow. Last one. Wow. Wow. Give the Lord a hand. Ah.
The last one.
Okay.
In Luke chapter 17, 11 through 18, concerning the 10 lepers who lifted their voices to Jesus and were instructed to show themselves to the priest, they were cleansed as they went. However, one of them turned back and glorified God and gave thanks. Then Jesus said to him in Luke 17, 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. What is the difference between the cleansing that happened in verse 14 and is being made whole in verse 19?
Okay. So, cleansing, like we're talking about in the blessings or the profit of the blessing. Like we read in that Psalm 103, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, and forget not his benefits. So benefits are degrees. So if you know your iniquity is forgiven, then actually you are cleansed. But you are not whole. So there's a returning back that will make you to be healed from all thy diseases. Then, who crowned this? There's an abiding part that you have not only returned, that you have abided, that will make you crown. Okay? Who crowned thee with loving and tender mercies? That's where nourishment now comes for you to be renewed like the eagle. So it's meant and cleansing, okay? So to give thanks there, it's not just say thank you alone. It's to appreciate that there's still much more remaining. With the Lord, he came for the remaining good. And so it's made whole. Say amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
Wow. Thank you, Daddy, for today. Can we appreciate Daddy? Can we stand up and say thank you, Daddy?
We can resume our normal order.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There is no question except the ones that will be sent next month. Can we just thank God? This last 3 months has been awesome. The Lord has brought in so much to us. More than 100 questions have been treated. Let's appreciate our Father this morning. Let's sincerely give him glory. Let's give him thanks. Our eyes have just been opened by that last question, that one of the lepers came back. He returned because he saw that there were many more provisions. He didn't just run away with the cleansing. He came back to now access materials that will bring about the health and the wholeness. Father, we thank you, for we are being healed to now be made whole. Let's appreciate our God. Let's thank him. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to appreciate God for all the answers. You know, not just for us here. People have listened to this. You know, it's going to be a resource material for people all over, everywhere, you know, to learn more, to understand God more. Let's pray that the grace of God will breathe upon these words and keep enlightening the hearts of believers and churches and setting men free, especially those who have those beliefs that something in their family is still troubling them. That God will, you know, bring this understanding across their way and they will be liberated in the name of Jesus. Finally, let's pray for our daddy this morning. Let's ask that the strength of God will rest upon him in the name of Jesus. He will stay in the place of abiding strength to keep giving us of the goodness, of the loving kindness, and of the tender mercies of God. Father, we thank you this morning. Glory and honor to your name, for in Jesus' name we have given thanks. Amen.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703
0395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.